Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Well, folks, we were off last week. Glad to be back this week. We got some coverage of the Dillon Motor Speedway 14th annual... October Bash. Well, I'm trying to get this figured out, man. Trying to read stuff that people are sending me. And, of course, you know, right about, nobody sends me nothing 30 minutes before we come on there. But just as soon as we hit that button and go live, man, everybody wants to send me stuff, and I'll be trying to read it at the same time. But, folks, we got someone we've had on here many times in the past. But he's been away from racing for a little bit and decided to go back this past weekend and do some racing. And I want to welcome back our buddy, Mr. Charles Hutto, back to the show. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Jerry. Glad to be here.
Well, buddy, you've been out of the race car for a couple years now. You decide to go back and go racing, and you got to give a big shout-out to the Pinchick family for allowing you to race their race car. And, you know, they're just a great folks, and to allow you to step in that race car and drive it just like you stole it, man. I'm sure that was a great privilege and a great honor for yourself.
Oh yeah, Ron, Ryan, and Carol, we all sitting around one night, and they said, "We want you to drive the car in this October race." And so I looked over at my wife, and so she gave me the nod, and so we agreed to do it, and I had a blast, and I really appreciate them letting me do that. That was really, really special. And they told me exactly that: drive it like you stole it. You know, I'm worried about tearing up somebody's car, and they said, "Don't worry about it. Go race." And I had a blast. It was fun.
It was, and you know, Ron and Ryan put a lot of work into that race car this weekend. Just, you know, the Gremlins just seemed to be biting over and over and over, and they really, really worked hard. Had to rebuild the rear end a couple times. Had some brake issues we had to overcome, and just a lot of hard work. And you know, Ryan was able to race in the Invitational non-winners race and did a great job. Just a fantastic job coming up through the field there for a seventh place finish. Told us a little bit about what the race car was, made a few small changes on the race car for you to get in the car, and then what do we have? First practice, had another rear end issue, so you didn't get a whole lot of practice time, but you showed that it's just like riding a bicycle, Charles. It didn't take just a little bit, and you were back there going.
Yeah, they worked really, really hard. I know Friday they got there, and some issues with the gear Friday. And so Ricky Locklear Sr. was nice enough to loan us a gear. It was, you know, a high gear, wrong gear for the track, but it's the only thing we had to work with. And then we had, so they changed that out Friday, and then the caliper bracket broke and shattered the left rear rotor. So Ron and Ryan got down there and had to take the left side off and take the right side off and put it on the left side. So we were running with no rear caliper or brake at all in the right rear, and then Ricky let us borrow a gear, and the axle seal went bad the next day, and run all the fluid out to the axle tube and burn up the gear. So then we had to go find a gear, and then we had to find a seal to go inside it. And finally, a Ledbetter had one and let us borrow. And so yeah, I think we had a mess, but I'm telling you, those guys worked their fannies off just so I could go race, and I really appreciate them doing that for me. But I got out there and had a good time. It was fun, and yeah, it was like riding a bike.
Yeah, it was, you know, and I got to tell you, folks, you know, I've been working with Charlie Hutto for probably close to 10 years now, working on this race car, and I've never seen him so nervous in my entire life. He paced back and forth. He'd look under the hood. He'd look under the trunk. He was just going back and forth, and I understand you, especially when you're driving somebody else's race car and you're a little bit on the nervous side there. But it was actually comical. We were making jokes back and forth about you, Charlie, about you walking around and how nervous you were.
Well, I think that came from my good friend Eric Holmberg. Eric Eric took me under his wing back in 06. And we worked, you know, we won championship with him and most poles and track records because we worked on that car 7 nights a week. I was at his house, and we went over everything. He made a grocery list, and there wasn't anything we missed. So now that I don't have him, I'm a nervous wreck. I mean, I'm going through my checklist, and I'm trying to remember all the stuff that he would make me do. And so, you know, when you're going out there and you're running, you know, I don't know, 90 miles an hour in straightaways, and coming in these corners with 26 cars, I mean, it's you got to make sure your stuff's right. And so that's just something I developed, you know, being away from him, that trying to think of all the stuff he had taught me to look out for. And you know, so people think I'm a little anal about it, but, you know, you want it right. You don't want to get out there and have failure or get hurt. So I'm just I want to make sure everything's right.
Oh, yes, sir. We know that. And that's why we was having some fun with it. You know, got to give a big shout out to Frank Kimmel too there, Charles. You know, he parked beside us, and we helped him some, and I want to thank Frank for letting me spot for him on Saturday for the non-winners race. But he come over there and welded that brake caliper bracket back on the car, you know, stopped working on his race car, and he was having all kinds of problems himself, but he stopped what he was doing and come over there and took the time to weld that bracket on there. And I know we really appreciate Frank doing that for us.
Yeah, Frank's been a good friend of mine for years now, and he's always been willing to help me do whatever. And actually, he is the one that built that white car that I had when we were, you know, running good. And, you know, and then he came to the track by himself Friday, and I think my wife was actually in there helping him work on the car and helping him do some stuff. So Sonny jumped in there and helped too, and then he jumped over and helped us. But it was nice to have him there beside and get his help on that stuff. It was really good.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, I know we leaned on him, you know. Me and Ron and Ryan would talk stuff over, and then I'd go over and I'd bounce it off of Frank, see what he thought, you know, see if we were headed in the right direction. So mm-hmm. You know, it's great having somebody that you can rely on like that to give you a little bit of advice, kind of make sure you're going in the right direction, which I can say that just about everything that I talked over with Frank, he said we were headed in the right direction there. So that was good to know that, you know, we working in the right thing, you know, on the right things, try to make the car faster. But, you know, we had a blast, and then we always have our little Saturday night get together after practice on Saturday night, and that show didn't disappoint either.
No, we had a great time. And I want to really quick say thanks to Ron Barfield for putting this series together. You know, you looked at some of these local short tracks, and, you know, they would have five or six street stocks out on a weekly show. And Ron put this deal together. And, you know, to have 26 street stocks show up, you know, for these races and the different tracks that welcome this series and have us there, this is a great thing for street stocks. And then you got the guys like the Meltons and the Ledbetters and Sonnies and Locklear's, the guys that come out every week, and, you know, they really work on their cars, and they put on a heck of a show for the guys. Week in, week out, they're always up front working hard on their stuff. So, you know, they're all friends of mine, and I'm glad to see them doing well. And I really want to just thank God for Justin Altman, that horrible wreck he had. That car rolled 9 times. First time I've seen that in our series. And he was able to get out safe, and his birthday's today, so happy birthday to him. But just thank God that he's safe. That was a terrible wreck.
Absolutely. We're glad that he was able to walk away from that. He was a little disappointed, I think, to start out with when it happened. But, you know, I think a lot of that was adrenaline. He seems to be doing well today, not as bad as he actually thought he was going to be. So glad to hear that. But, Charles, somebody sent me a question. They want to know if you're going to come back racing, and will you be at the New Year's Bash?
I enjoyed it, you know. I really did. I'd like to, yeah, I've got my eyes on a couple of vehicles. My wife's inside, so I
can
say all
that. You can talk
about it. But, you know, I'd like to, and, you know, I like the Mass Series. I think there's, what, 6 races? Is that right?
Right. That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. If you can get something like that and do 6 the weekly shows and stuff, I just don't have half the time. I got grandson running up and running motocross and stuff now, so trying to hang out with him. But if I could find me a good piece that I could keep here and make sure is, you know, work on that and maybe find six races to run, I'd love to. You know, I've only missed one of those New Year's Day bashes, and I was sick to my stomach. So, I don't know. We'll see. I hope so.
Well, I know you'll be there, whether you're racing or not, being there with support for the Pinchicks and Carol and Ron and Ryan and those guys, be there assisting them any way you can, even if you don't have a ride. But tell us a little bit about your day. We talked a little bit about having the gear issues to start the day off, and we got that fixed. And you were still able to make it out there for qualifying. Take it from there and tell us a little bit about the rest of your day.
Yeah, we didn't get a whole lot of practice time. Like I say, we had the only gear we could find down there was a 567, which was way too much. But, you know, we were going to run with it and felt pretty good until we burned it up. I could feel the vibration, so we pulled in and told them I thought the rear end was bad, and it was. And we searched around for about 2 hours, missed practice, and then finally Mr. Barfield was able to loan us a 543 gear, which wasn't quite enough. But like I say, we were able to get out there and make it. And I think for the first part of it, we were pretty good. I was trying to be cautious. I got hung up down there on the inside behind some slower cars for quite a while. It just wouldn't move for anything. I tried to tap them a little bit, but anyway, they didn't get the hint, so I hung out there and tried to be safe and finally got around them. And I think we started 16th or so and ended up getting up to 9th and found a little happy median there. And then there was an accident in front of us, cut a tire down, had to come in, get that changed, start back in the back again. Jerry, I think we got back probably 9th or 10th again when they had that big melee there on the front stretch. And Wayne Locklear was out beside me, and I saw him go high, and I went low. And by that time, the whole track was covered up, and I somebody back down in the inside wall, and I T-boned them in the door, and we were done. But yeah. Other than that, the car was great. You know, Ron and Ryan worked really hard on it. It was strong. A little handling issues, but that isn't something we couldn't have fixed if we'd had more time in practice, but we didn't, so we had to race with what we had to deal with. But I had a blast, and it was actually fun. My arms are tired from sawing that wheel because I was sawing the mess out of it, but it was fun.
Well, I think if you hadn't got in the big wreck after you cut the tire down, you come in, we got the tire changed, and put a little bit of cross in the car to try to tighten it up, and then the very next restart is when we had our issues. But I'm glad to hear also, Charles, that David Earnhardt is doing good. I imagine he was a little bit sore today. That's who you wound up T-boning in the door, and I know it knocked the breath out of him because it took a few minutes for them to kind of get him to answer them, to make sure that he was okay. I know his eyes was open because I talked to Randy Minolke after the event, but he just wasn't saying nothing, you know. So, you know, of course that scares everybody when that's going on. But he seemed like he was walking around doing pretty good yesterday afternoon also. So I seen him post something up on Facebook today that he was okay. He wasn't, you know, he was sore, but he wasn't real bad sore. So, and, you know, for his job, for what he does, it's probably not a good thing for him to be too sore because he's a police officer, and, man, it would suck to have to get into a chase, man, and him be sore and not be able to stop some kind of criminal.
That's right. Now, I'm glad he's safe, too. But, you know, and another shout-out to Ron Barfield and his safety crew there and his people around the track because they were Johnny on the spot. There was a lot of wrecks yesterday. I think the race finished with 12 cars, only finished the race out of 26. And every time there was an accident, his people were all over it. So they did a fantastic job with that. You know, this is a series where, you know, it's good to go have fun and stuff. And Ron and them try to do a pretty good job managing some of these cars that, you know, a lot of people just don't realize or you know, they don't think. You know, you're out there at high speed, you're with, you know, 4,000-pound weapons, and you know, there's a time to be smart and a time to go for it. But there's a lot of bad decisions on you know, half that field out there, and I hate to say that, but it's you know, it is what it is. And they did a good job monitoring that, and they did actually black flagged and threw a few people out. But you know, you know, that's the only thing I'd like to say. You know, if you see that happening, and there was a few cars out there that, you know, that's the way they're going to race. You know, park them in the beginning, and let's have some good clean racing to keep people safe. But it was a dangerous day with some of them.
It really was, Charles. You know, and I know the wreck that you was in, the bad wreck that ended the day for us. You know, one of the cars that was involved, you know, said, "Well, we didn't touch nobody." No, they might not have touched nobody, but they put two cars that was already racing side by side into a three-wide situation at Dillon. And anybody that's ever raced at Dillon knows that three-wide is not going to work. It's just not going to work there. And, you know, there was some words after the race about the three-wide situation. And I don't know, somehow I got involved in that conversation. You know, and I'm a nice, quiet guy, so.
Well, everybody listening, Jerry, I've never seen Jerry fired up like that. It was, but you know what? It was well deserved. Like I say, you get people out there; these are 4,000-pound, you know, weapons out there running around. And you know, if you look at the top, if you look at those top six, seven, eight racers, you know, they race clean. They race each other. They're racing for the lead. It changes, and those guys come home without a scratch. Then you got the guys from 10th place back. That just you know, a handful of them lose their minds and don't realize how dangerous this sport is. And it's you know, we're out not making millions of dollars doing this thing, so you got to get out there and use your noggins. And you know, Ron, I think, did a pretty good job of trying to corral that. But you know, next time I'd like to see you got a repeat offender a couple times causing some wrecks parking.
That's
right. You know, it's not worth the safety of these guys that don't have the brains, you know, to be out there and be smart with these machines.
Well, I know Ron Barfield has worked really, really hard to make this work. And by the way, Charles, my mom and dad says tell you hello. They just sent me a message telling me to, that.
Tell them hello and I love them.
And Ron works really hard to put this series together. He has done a great job taking over what was the Kimball Street Stocks. And I'm going to tell you how hard he's working. When me and Ron was talking a little bit this afternoon, he's out of the country. I don't know if he's trying to find some more race cars for the Mass Series or not, but he told me he'd been flying all day and was out of the country. So he may be out there trying to find us some drivers from other nations, other countries to come in here and race, Charles.
Well, that's what Bruton did. Bruton had to go. He's got Legends cars in Morocco and India, all over the world. He's got these Legends cars, so maybe Ron's going to take after him and go search for some of those guys.
He just might. Well, Charles, I know you had a sponsor come on board the car this weekend. You want to take a moment and talk a little bit about them?
Yep. We had Ron and Ryan and Carol had got G-Shock. National director's a good friend of theirs and got G-Shock to help sponsor. And then we had All Pro Reconditioning come on and help us. All Pro's a detail company that comes into the dealerships, and they'll take everything from paint work, ding work, dent work, windshield work, interior repair, and detail. And they just a one-shop stop, and they'll come in the dealership, and we got them there at Fort Mill Ford where I'm at and do a fantastic job. And they've got some other sponsorships they do down around the Atlanta, Georgia area and some late models and stuff, and they wanted to jump on board, so I'd like to thank them for their help this weekend. All Pro Reconditioning.
That's awesome that they were able to come on board there. Man, my dad blasted phone. People just like sending me messages, and it's hard to keep up with them in the middle of the show. I was told to tell you that Ryan's pockets hurt already. I don't know, not exactly sure what that means, other than the dollar figure that it's going to take to fix the race car back up. So,
oh Lordy, there was a crash clause, so I guess I got to get in there and dive in and help fix that rascal. It is at my shop, so it'll be on the lift one night this week, and we'll get it all tightened up.
Yeah, well, fortunately, you know, the damage wasn't that bad, Charles. You know, a broken spindle, a radiator, and some cosmetic stuff. You know, it didn't look like it bent the clip or nothing like that. Everything else there looked good. I think probably the spindle got broke when you after you hit David, you bounced off the wall there a little bit, and I think that probably what broke the spindle. And of course, the main hit where you T-bone David is what happened to the radiator and the cosmetics in the front of it. That thing was fun trying to put up in the trailer, but we were able to finally get it up in the trailer so y'all guys could head back to Monroe.
Yeah, they like I say, they worked really hard, and Ron and Ryan and Carol all said, drive it like you stole it, and I'm going to tell you what, that was probably the hardest I've had to drive a race car since I've started. I was driving the rascal out of that thing. It just, you know, with all the issues we had and losing the brake and the wrong gear and everything, you had to try to make up some ground somehow, and it was a handful, but like I say, we were lucky just to even be out there as hard as they worked just to get me to, you know, they wanted me to race it, and we could have easily loaded that thing up, took it back home, but they went overboard just to make sure I could at least make the race and go have fun, so I'd like to thank them again for that.
Yeah, we definitely do appreciate it. And Ron said to tell you, that's Ryan's pockets, not his pockets, that's hurting.
So. it's gonna trickle back to mine, I'm sure, because I'm not gonna let. I'll take care of that for them. They did that for me. We're gonna put this thing together. So, but and we'll make sure that car's right. And, we're gonna go through it, and we'll get some practice time in it, so Ryan can he can drive that thing to the front in New Year's Day.
Absolutely, and again, I got to say he did a great job driving that car Saturday in the non-winners race. You know, it started back towards the back, worked his way up, and come away with a good, solid seventh-place finish. You know, it's been a pleasure being able to work with the Pinchik family. I have seen Ryan improve dramatically over the couple years that I have been helping. I mean, it's night and day difference watching this young man become a great race car driver. And he's gonna be up there at the front running with them guys sooner or later. He may need a little bit more seat time, but he ain't that far off from them right now. So we just got to get the bugs tweaked out of that car and get, you know, a few more adjustments to it, and he's going to be right there with them. And, again, it's just been that fantastic being able to work with him.
Well, Ryan's improved a ton, and he does a really good job. He's patient, and you know, my wife Sandy spots for him, and she spots for me, and she'll let you know when to calm down and when to be cool. And I've heard her on the radio with Ryan when I've watched him race, and she does a good job, keeps him calm, and he listens to her, and he's just been patient. He's learned that, and he'll come up with some good finishes, staying out of that crazy stuff I get into.
That's right. Well, Charles, I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. I appreciate you taking the time. And folks, if you're looking for Charles Hutto, he's not at Town and Country Ford no more. He's not at Mooresville Ford no more. He is at Fort Mill Ford. That is Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Go see him if you need a car or truck, or even if you just want to go by there and talk some racing with him. Charlie will sit there and talk to you. But thank you for being on the show tonight, Charles.
Well, thank you guys for having me. And Fort Mill Ford is a Sonic store, same as Town and Country. So they called me back a month and a half ago and said, would you come back? And I said, absolutely. Come back with Sonic. So still with Ford. Go Ford. And thank you, Jerry, for having me. I really appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. I want to give a quick rundown of who all won the races this past weekend. Ron was not able to finish the complete results, but he did send me a message with the winners. Of course, Gary Ledbetter Jr. won the mass feature. Robert Powell won the late model race. Brandon Clement won the Pro 4 race. Justin Anderson won the Mini Cup race. Chad Webster won the Charger race. Billy Hogan won the trucks. Jason McDowell won the Invitational non-winners street stock race. Tony Harker won the Banger race. And Tracy Chopin won the Powder Puff race. And Ron said he'll have the results posted up a little bit later this week. He has been flying and was out of the country. So appreciate Ron taking the time and getting that little bit of results there to us. Folks, I appreciate everybody tuning in and listening to the show tonight. Remember, you got Patrick Reynolds and Speedway Report coming up at 7:30, and then at 8 o'clock you got Rockin' and Racin' at top of the 8 o'clock hour with Bill, Barb, and John. We'll see everybody back here next Monday night for another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source. Production of Zeus Radio Network, Ford Racers Reunion Radio. Good night, God bless.
Good show, Jerry. Take care, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.